Welcome to Technory Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you tuning in for the first time, well, you've probably heard this bit before. What is Technory? Since 2010, Technory has been Chicago's top startup showcase. More than 300 companies have been featured, been on stage, been on the show, and they've gone on to raise a whopping $260+ million in venture funding. We are back in studio. When I say back in studio, I've got an entrepreneur who has been here before with a different startup. We are back in studio at WGN for Technory Live. Joining me is Phil Castro. Do we call you the co-founder or the founder?
Founder, yeah.
Of BarPass, which is a very cool tool. And you are not new both to the studio, and you're not new to the space that you're operating in either.
Correct. Both of them are not new at all.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about your background in general.
Sure. So I have an interesting background. I have about 12 years in nightlife, and I also have 3.5-4 years in venture capital backed companies. So why I mention that is because I have a general understanding of scaling businesses, but also on the other hand, I have a great understanding of what really goes into nightlife companies as well, like the meat and bones, basically.
Yeah, see, I don't have any understanding of the meat and bones, but I've got like 20-some years of nightlife experience.
Throwing drinks back, you mean?
Oh,
only?
Man, and then some, and all kinds of things back. It's all good.
But I meant from the business aspect. That's what I meant.
I get sidetracked very easily.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you start talking about going nightlife, and I'm like, oh, man, there was this one night we were down. No, but I think it's really cool, and what I like about you, and there's two pieces of this interview that I want to get across, and one is very similar to when I spoke to Sterling Douglas, who works with Chowley now, and he was at Nixalign at one point, and that was, got a great idea, working on a great startup, great idea. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going to come up with, this is one of many that I'm going to come up with in my time.
Yep.
But also knowing when it's like, all right, that's not going to work out, and we're going to step off and start something different, maybe mm-hmm. take the lessons and maybe some of the infrastructure, but the original thing is not working. We're going something else. Or maybe it's just not your interest anymore. And then the second part that I want to get in with you is your own entrepreneurial journey, because you, and I mean this in a non-disrespectful manner, it's in a very respectful way, you are a great self-promoter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the entrepreneurs that we've talked to, I would say traditionally the CTOs, mm-hmm. obviously, I think not surprisingly,
yeah.
aren't so good at that portion of it.
Right.
But a lot of the entrepreneurs forget that if they don't talk about themselves and they don't put themselves out there, no one else is going to talk about you.
Right,
we're
exactly.
in a little echo chamber, so we hear about our stuff all the time. But
sure.
outside of this little room, no one knows who you are.
And some of the best, biggest public figures in life, no matter from like sports, entertainments, they had at some point they have to be their own advocate. They have to, or else they wouldn't be where they are today.
And the hope, of course, is that you are your own personality, and that the authenticity, as we talk about all the time, is there and it's alive. Sometimes, you know, maybe it's not, and you got to make it up, and that happens. But ultimately, it just is. Like, if you aren't a personality, you better create one.
Yeah. Think about Tyson, Holyfield. Like, think about those guys. Think about Mayweather.
Money Mayweather. I mean, the dude runs around with a bag with $1 million in it.
Yeah. Like, you have to at some point. Like, if you want to be, you know, in the spotlight and you have that, like, mentality that you're the best, you have to think you are the best before other people do.
Yeah.
And, you know, in regards to, like, startup companies and founders, like, a lot of them, you know, are, like you said, the CTOs are a little timid, they're shy, they're not self-promoters, and, you know, you could still be successful that way, but it's just much easier if you are, you know, screaming from the rooftops what you're about and what your company is about. You just have a better rate of success. That's all. Better chance of success.
I agree. I mean, I catch a lot of crap from, like, most of my friends because I post on Facebook constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, at least the nice part is, like, it's only once in a while that it's about me. Like,
yeah.
I post constantly about everybody else.
Right.
Like, I'm always writing about other people's stories in these interviews we do. Now, granted, it's about me because it's my company, but, like, it's about you guys.
Yeah.
And so I guess the main piece that I learned, I was always really cocky and arrogant, like, like when I was in college and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, after that, I really wasn't, like, that loud. I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't on any of those things. It was only when I jumped back into the entrepreneurial world was, like, I figured that you'd get noticed or recognized, and then someone would be like, oh, my God, they're so great, and they talk about me, but no one did.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well,
someone's going to do it.
Someone's got to do it, and, like, no one else is stepping up.
Are you friends with your mom on Facebook? She might be able
My
to...
mom's not on Facebook,
oh, okay.
Thank God. But my dad is. He does it all for me.
Does
now.
He?
Oh, my goodness. He shares everything. we double our likes immediately. I have access to the 65 and up generation like no one's business. No, but seriously, it's a big deal. And so I think I'm going to hang this interview on this part here.
Okay.
So as a huge promoter, mm-hmm. one of the things that ends up happening, and it's, I think, what keeps people from promoting, is they have a failure, or they have something that isn't a failure, but it's just not where they're going.
Fizzles out or
whatever,
something.
Yeah.
Like, they're just scared of what other people might think, just in case they have to jump ship or the business goes down the drain or whatever.
And I don't know, like, the previous company that you're working on, I don't actually know the backstory.
So I can give you a really
quick. Yeah, go for
it. So basically, it was a company that I worked on for a long time, spent a lot of money and a lot of time on it, which it still kind of bothers me, but it's okay. And there was a point where we were just about to launch, and we did, and I had an investor with a $500,000 check ready to go to work, ready to give it to me in order to basically spend the funds appropriately in order to get my business on the next level. And I turned it down. I turned it down because there was a big opportunity that just came about in the city of Chicago. Well, I should say across the nation, but prominently in the city of Chicago. And I knew that at that point that, you know, this opportunity was just on a whole different level than this other one. And, you know, even though I spent so much time and money on it, I had to put it to the side in order to really give everything, give it all I got with this new opportunity, which is BarPass, which is what I'm here today about, right? So, you know, sometimes, like, that's life for you, like, for even with business. Like, even if you have something good going, and, you know, I think I really could have made the other company successful. I really think so. But the odds of making this new one successful is just way higher because I understand what the opportunity is at hand. So I'd really just pushed the other one to the side, and now I'm just pursuing this 100% full force.
And so that's the attitude I guess I wanted to capture. I'm glad you took over and said that exactly you did, because that's the exact sentence that I wanted to try to get across to people.
Mm-hmm.
That, listen, I don't. This week go out of business tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have our thing. We had a show that packed a house. You know, not even 2 weeks ago, we had more than 500 people show up.
Sure.
And in 2 weeks from today, we're going to be back, and maybe two people show up.
Yep.
And the game's over, and that's it.
Yep.
And I will have wasted all of your time, and I apologize for wasting all your time on social media and on Technori, just pitching this constantly. But I don't have a choice. That's my job.
Right.
And those who are not entrepreneurs maybe don't know this, but one of my buddies who's been in the mobile development and web development game for a while has talked many times about entrepreneurs talking about their business is usually about 90 days from insolvency.
Yep.
Essentially, if things stop working,
mm-hmm.
90 days, they are firing everyone and they're out of business.
That's probably very true.
And so if that is the case,
mm-hmm.
it's probably best you just forget about it and just know that to be fact and set it aside and promote your business and promote yourself and promote what you're doing and talk about it until there ain't nothing to talk about.
You have to. You just have to really analyze. Like, just ask yourself the simple question. Are you better off promoting it or not? And if it's yes, which it is, in all cases, unless you're Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Fortune, you know, 100, 500 company, you literally
should. And even then, they do the same thing. They just do it in a different way.
Yeah, they do it in different ways because they throw dollars at it mostly. You know, like, but what we're talking about is founders and startups, and they should always just be screaming from the rooftops what they do, what their product is, what their service is, and how they can help you at all times.
So we'll use this as a learning experience for, and then we'll put it to rest and go to BarPass.
Okay.
But the learning experience for this is, this is a litmus test. If you feel like you're afraid of the embarrassment
mm-hmm.
of it flaming out publicly,
mm-hmm.
dissolve it mm-hmm. or give it to somebody else who doesn't care and go get a job at somewhere else.
Absolutely. If you, exactly what you said, that's basically saying you're not ready to be an entrepreneur then.
And it's not that you're not ready. I really firmly believe that I can teach everyone in the room here, I can teach them the skills of becoming an entrepreneur. If you want something, I can show you how to do it. I know how to scale things. I know how to build things. I know how to do it. I can show you how to do it. But if you are not wired for that, if you're not wired to be like, yep, that's a brick wall I'm running through. Don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that Navient calling? Oh, that's funny. I mean, I've taken the approach now with like loans and Navient people. They call my phone. I play games with them. Like, I ask them what they had for dinner.
Give them the runaround.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't even run them around. I play games with them now. We're like good friends. Like,
yeah.
I've gone through so many of these calls at like every call center in the world at Navient who does all the student loans. I think I've had the same person at least two or three times call me. And if you understand Navient's model, these people are calling from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the same person more than once, you're getting a lot of calls. And I'm telling people this on the air. I don't care. You have to have that attitude, or you're going to be so stressed out about the non-stressful parts of the job.
Sure.
Because the real job is stressful.
Uh-huh.
The job of building BarPass, of trying to fund it, trying to get partners with all the bars in town, trying to do it before somebody else figures out what you're doing and tries to sneak ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
All those parts, you'd pull your hair out if you had to also deal with, like, well, what would people think?
Right, exactly.
So
exactly, you hit the nail on the head.
So here we are. Now you've got Bar Pass. You've decided this is the thing. What is Bar Pass, and how are you doing this as an entrepreneur differently than when the first one you were doing?
So Bar Pass is a social happy hour club for young professionals that is event-based, and we throw events on a weekly basis at different bars and restaurants in the city of Chicago. Every single event, we typically give away some sort of incentive, whether that's like drinks on us for the first hour or one drink plus like 20% off. But these deals cannot be found anywhere else besides our platform. And the reason behind Bar Pass and why, you know, users get on board with it is you discover new bars, you meet new people, and you taste different spirits. So it's more of like an experience at every single event. And we really like to just showcase not only the venue, but like the spirits that we have on tap that is on special, whether that's, you know, whether we have a sponsor or not. And really just introduce them to like a new way of happy hours and a better way of happy hours.
Very cool. I guess one thing I would ask with regard to like how you built them like that, that is one of those things where in a person in the event space, promo codes fly real quick. And we, I mean, I'm telling you,
you're the king of promo codes,
dude,
right?
Dude, I am, but I learned a lesson from it. So when we did Eventbrite, and we have now Splash and these other things that we use on our tool, okay, I put all these promo codes out and people misuse them. And like, I know that it's not like I gave you a promo code, so you should use it. Mm-hmm. But if you're not a student, don't use the student promo codes and get discount. Come on, man. If you're not a female founder, I found multiple people. I went back and looked at the emails and was like, and I asked the girls that I sent them to, was like, hey, I saw male names on there. Like, was like, yes, and that's fine. Like, I don't care about that. No. No, it was just dudes who took the WTF founders promo code for free and got free tickets to my event.
Yeah.
Like, people are going to cut in front of you and, like, and businesses are going to sign up with you and then also offer promo codes that maybe are more so or equal to what you're doing to counter you. How do you stay ahead of them?
So that's easy. So basically what we do is we are not biased. In regards to like having a venue, like we don't own our own venues, right? Like think about it. Like what we do is we do pop-up events throughout the city of Chicago. So if anybody, any bar, any restaurant would try and say, okay, well, we want to do our own deals that are similar, so why can't we just do it ourselves? That's because they haven't really looked at the fact that we have our own network right now. And this network literally just looks at our platform in order to discover new places, right? Yep. So if they want that reach, they're going to have to do it through the platform or else they're just going to get the same people that were already going to their bar or restaurant and just have repeat business, but giving them a discount, which makes no sense for them.
Yeah, they're losing.
So, you know, what really makes perfect sense in this scenario is us being able to really organize all these happy hours and curate the coolest events and the coolest bars and the trendiest restaurants and put them on the platform to give, you know, an experience to our users instead of, you know, having the same, you know, Joe and Bob and Sue come week after week, but giving them a 30 to 40% discount. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So ultimately though, for you guys, like with regard to your network, how have you built such a quick, like, was it a network that
all
used your personal?
Was organic. So we have, I won't say the exact number, we have thousands of users without spending $1, and it's all word of mouth right now. That's going to completely change once we take on seed capital, because then, you know, everything changes. And those numbers should shoot up tremendously, but we're doing pretty damn good right now for just barely launching, you know, 5 months ago.
And is it primarily in Chicago, or have you started doing, I know that you
idea
set quite a bit, I see.
So trying to make a joke from the last time, I think. So the idea is to really prove out the model in Chicago and use the soon-to-be seed capital for Chicago. And then once you prove out Chicago, you know, we're doing it primarily like in River North, like Old Town area.
Yep.
Duplicate that in different pockets of the city of Chicago, right? So let's say we're having five every single day in different neighborhoods. So Lincoln Park, Gold Coast, Bucktown, River North, right? Something like that.
Yep.
Once you do that and you really build an infrastructure that works, that's when you take your Series A, you know, a year later, and you duplicate that in five different cities and so on and so forth. 2 years later, take a Series B and do that in another 10 cities.
Yep.
So slowly you're just starting to...
You have picked up quite... I have to tell you, from the last interview, you've picked up quite a bit with regard to just the sophistication of how you're running the business. I can tell from just the conversation. The last thing we talked about, I mean, you had a lot of great ideas, and we try to usually keep this down to, like, you know, I want to know about the mission. I want to know what you guys are trying to do, how you're going to do it.
Absolutely.
But I just want to give you kudos, because the last time we talked, you really that was more of like, well, the growth, and some of the more finite questions were a little bit more broad, like, well, you know, we'll see.
Depends. I'm diving right into the details this time.
Well, not even that. I just mean, like, I think you really, I just feel like you've got, I think that that experience was a valuable experience.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a good thing that, that you found something that has much, that this was big enough opportunity that it drew you away from it so you could sort of reset, refocus, look back at what didn't go well, what did go well, and I think you're much better off as an entrepreneur than you were before.
Absolutely. I have no doubt.
Very cool.
Yep.
How do people get into this network?
So you download the application, BarPass. It's one word, BARPASS, one word, blue logo. And typically, we're going, at some point, we're going to charge for a premium model. But right now, we're giving away the premium service absolutely free of cost. So you can literally join today and download and have access to all these events and have these incentives and basically become a part of the BarPass community. And it's really cool because you meet a ton of good people. Like the base, the organic base that we have right now is a really good base. Really
That's
good
awesome.
Movers and shakers. You know, I don't know why you're not on it, but people like you are on the platform and having a good time and having drinks with their friends, whether it's right after work to enjoy some cocktails.
I live in the suburbs. That's why I'm
which
not
suburb?
Cool enough. At Glen Ellen.
Oh, okay.
There's nothing there.
I'm sorry about that.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, it's your own fault, Scott.
Thanks for pointing that out. No, I guess the one thing you brought up, I was going to close right there, but the one thing you brought up that I want to touch on real quick before we head out is you mentioned the free and the premium.
Okay.
I think that it's really interesting. We've had other groups that don't, it's not BarPass, but they do similar things in different areas that have found real success. And this is just take it however you want, you know, take it wherever you want to go with it.
Sure.
But with sort of the point system, I could totally see this being somewhere where, like, think of like Soho.
Mm-hmm.
Soho House has a point system for a lot of the things that they offer across their entire global thing. So it's mm-hmm. like if you're traveling to San Diego and you've already expanded, you know, into other cities.
Sure.
I have the ability to tap into that network and
yep.
take advantage of deals and know where to go and what to do with things.
Exactly.
And allot points to get a bigger deal here versus here because I don't need it as much here.
Exactly.
Very
and
cool.
And that's, you know, that's where the branding comes in, because we really have to be strategic on what venues we pick out and very careful about doing that, because
yep.
we're not just going to work with any venues. We want Scott to look at the application and trust every single event because they know it's going to be an awesome event. You know it's going to be an
yep.
awesome event before you go there. So that's a big on the trust and the branding. And once, you know, we do scale to different cities, that becomes that much more vital. And that's where the premium model will be kicking in too, so you can basically access it throughout any primary city.
Yeah, which is really cool about that. And in all honesty, is the premium model is a challenge for most people. They think like, well, we'll just start charging and then people just disappear.
Yep.
But when you actually offer something that I can sort of use my money and allot it to other things and
mm-hmm.
take advantage of it, it could be really cool. So
I think it's just really smart just to have the free model first. This way they get the experience. They understand what the, the value
access
is.
Access of users and get everyone onboarded for mm-hmm. the lowest cost possible.
And that's, I'm glad I'm working with that right now because it's working.
Very cool.
So next time I'm on here, I'll talk about the premium model once we kick that in.
Sounds great.
In five different cities.
I hope you come back very soon.
Yeah.
Awesome. Phil, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure.
Yep. We'll be right back.